Good morning. It's great to be here again. Wow. I was here, I think, 2 years ago, but I feel like I'm at home with you. So I pray this morning that God will bless us and give us grace to go on faithfully with our Christian life. And as you've heard, my name is Jordan. I originally come from Bulgaria. It is a country in Eastern Europe, in the heart of the Balkans. And it's not a big country. We have altogether like less than 7 million people in the whole country. London is bigger than that. But by God's grace, I'm here. I've been pastor and preacher and church planter back home like for 20 years before I arrived in 2011 here in the UK. At the moment, I'm working with London City Mission, and I've been working with the mission for more than 10 years now, which has been a really great blessing. So today I want to say a few words, first of all, about our mission. But I don't think I have to say much, because you already have been faithful supporters and faithful people who pray for London City Mission. I'm leading a small team in Barking in Dagenham, which is in East London. And what we're doing and have been doing for the last 4 or 5 years since I've been moved in Barking in Dagenham is to reach out to all kind of communities and people in London, in East London, and predominantly we work among five groups of people. Those are people from Islam and other religions, also children, youths and schools. We make a lot of connections with schools and a lot of activities where we invite children and their teachers to come in churches to get to know what church is and what we're doing about our beliefs. So that's how we kind of step in schools, and we have a number of ministries that I don't have time to speak at the moment, but we're reaching to children, youths and schools, and that is something that we want to focus more. As you know, the future generation is very important for us, for the church. Also, we work among immigrants, and that is my main specialism. We call it diaspora specialism, because in London we have people from all over the world, and you will not believe if I tell you, but there are over 300 languages spoken in London. 300 languages. I didn't know there are so many languages in the world. But that is how it is. So also we work among elderly people and people in council estates, people who are kind of marginalized and homeless as well. And we are training churches. That is our strategy. You've probably already heard about the change of strategy that London City Mission had 4 years ago. I probably last time when I arrived, I talked a lot about that. But now we're training churches like yourself in those five specialisms, and we train them how to go out and reach out people from different backgrounds, religions and languages. So our purpose is not just LCM to go out and do the ministry, but to connect with churches, train churches, and go together with church members and church volunteers and do these ministries so that people would have direct impact with the church and hear the gospel and join the church. And we just had last Saturday, not this last Saturday, but the Saturday before, we had a wonderful time with a church in East London where we had a training, and there were around 30 church members who came to this training. it was about general evangelism and how we can reach people just doing street evangelism, book tables, and door knocking and other things. But today is the day of the Lord, and I always rejoice to be with God's people, because I know there are so many places we could be this morning. We could be at home. Some people probably are still in bed. Well, it's 11 o'clock. You know, some people are still probably in bed. But we have come together to worship the living God, our Father in heaven, and to thank Him for the great promises, and to thank Him and worship Him for sending our Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. Because we have a hope. We have a message that brings hope, and we believe that message. And this message is the gospel, that Jesus loved us, and that He came and He died on the cross for our sins. And having all these things in mind, and the words that we read from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, I would like to say a few words about these verses this morning. So, there is one very important question we can ask ourselves. And I think it's not only for those who believe in Jesus. Every person that comes to this world, at some point, ask themselves this question. What is the purpose of my life? Everyone in the world, from children to elderly people, we're always like, oh, what I am doing here? To be honest, I ask myself all the time, oh Lord, what I am doing here? Am I doing the right thing with my life? What's the purpose that you have for me? But people who don't believe in God, they also think about the purpose of life. And if you go online, search on internet, just type in the search bar in Google, purpose of life. Try that, and you'll see how many titles, book titles, and articles, and materials will come up with people who are trying to tell you what is the purpose of your life. And basically, the biggest issue with all these advisors is that their main approach is, first, find who you are, nothing wrong with that, and second, find what makes you happy. So all those, I've not read all of them, but basically I went through some of these materials, and that is the approach. Find who you are and what makes you happy, and you will find the purpose of your life. But the thing is that these people, they take God, our Creator, out of the picture. And without Him, we cannot know what's the purpose of our life. I'll give you an example. If you go in a shop and buy, let's say, a washing machine, it comes with an instruction manual. And this manual is prepared and made by the inventor or the manufacturer. And it tells you how you should use this washing machine and for what purpose. And you don't use it for other things. You cannot drive washing machine. It's not a car. So God is our Creator. He made us. I don't believe that you have got on your washing machines and drove here this morning. I drove from London, but I had to rent a car for that purpose. So God is the manufacturer. He is the Creator of all things. He is our Creator. And He tells us, what is the purpose of our life? So God defines our purpose and the way we should live our lives. This is what we need to remember. It means that in order to know our purpose, we need to know God. And only way to know God is through Jesus Christ and through His Word, the Bible. So that's why we read the Bible, that's why we pray, that's why we ask God to reveal Himself to us, to give us knowledge of Him. And in the Bible, the followers of Jesus are called many things. We're called saints, we're called disciples, we're called temple of God. It means that God lives in us, He dwells in us. And we are called children of God, which means we are His family. And also we are called priests of God, aroma of Christ. So there are many things that the Bible tells us we are. And in Matthew 5:13-16, we are called salt, light, and city set on a hill. And I would like us to think about how these things relate to the purpose God has given us in this world. So the first thing is our purpose as salt of the earth. I believe we all know about the strength and quality of the salt to influence and change the taste of our food. We use it every day. Some people more, some people less. And when Jesus compares us with salt, he means that our God-given purpose is to influence and change the world as the salt changes the taste of our food. So salt also has the strength to preserve food and was widely used with that purpose in ancient times. They didn't have fridges and freezers as we have today. So they had to find other ways to preserve food longer. That's why they used salt. They put salt on meat and it preserves it from decaying and corruption. So as salt, we should have the purpose to preserve the world from moral and spiritual corruption. This is your task and my task. And this is God-given task. God gave us this purpose. When we look around, we kind of see ordinary people. But we have a great mission given by God. It is our mission to proclaim the gospel and preserve the world from moral and spiritual decay, from perishing, because the world is going to perish without Christ. And before we start thinking about the purpose of salt, I would like us to think about its value. So the salt has value. And this will help us to understand about how God sees us. Because if we are looking to find our purpose, and if we say that we have purpose that God has given us, we need to know how God relates with us, what God thinks about us, how valuable we are for God. So salt is very widely used in our days. It's easy to find. It's not difficult to find salt. You go to the shop and it's there. And it doesn't cost much. Well, the price have gone up, but it's still something that we can buy easily. And it is around, very easy to find, not expensive. In ancient times, it was not the case. The salt was very precious thing. And in some parts of the world, it was used as a currency and had the same value as gold. Can you believe that? Salt was used as a currency. And some etymologists think, though the connection is not very clear, that words like salary and soldier have their roots in the word salt. Now, in the ancient times, Roman soldiers were partly paid by salt. They would receive coins, you know, silver, gold, and other things. But they were partly paid in salt because the salt was so expensive and so precious and so important. A very good example about how precious salt was since very ancient times is Varna civilization. I don't know if you've heard about Varna civilization. There is a city in Bulgaria, my home country, called Varna. Even today the city is called Varna. And there were people living there long, long time ago. I'm talking about 6,500 years ago. There was a civilization who lived around that place. And they were very advanced and developed for its time, for their time. And this civilization is older than Egyptian, Babylonian, and even Sumerian civilization. So the oldest and the biggest gold treasure in the world has been found there. You can go online and check that. All other treasures found around the world from the same period combined together are making only half of the gold that is found there just in one tomb. And this was a tomb of a very important man. But the point is they were very, very rich, very prosperous. And when archaeologists started digging around, they found a big fortress built around a hill. So according to their estimation, the fortress was like, the walls of the fortress were 4 to 6 meters high and 2 to 4 meters wide. We're talking about 6,500 years ago. Walls made of stone, 4 to 6 meters high, 2 to 4 meters wide. And this fortress was built around this hill, just a hill. And what they found out was that the hill is actually a rock. It is a big rock of salt. And that was their national treasure. That's why they kept it very, with all these fortress they built around. They tried to keep this treasure that they had. And that's why they were so prosperous. So the salt was very important, very expensive, and very valuable. So when Jesus says, we are the salt of the world, it means that we have to influence the world, and also that we are so valuable for God that He sent His Son to die for our sins. That's why Jesus died for us, because we are valuable in the eyes of God. Not because something in us, we are sinful people, but because of His grace. So Jesus compares us with salt. And He loved us so much that He suffered and died a very cruel death on a cross, conquered the death for us through His glorious resurrection, and reigns forever above all authorities and powers, and thus secures the kingdom of God and the eternal life for those who have repented for their sins and believed in Him. So we have to think about God and thank Him for His mercy. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. These are great words. This is how precious we are to God. He qualified us. We were not qualified to enter the kingdom of God. We by ourselves are not. We deserve death and punishment. But God qualified us because He chose us and we are valuable for Him. So as Christians, we have been born again by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And we are called to grow in the image of Christ and hold firm His Word. We are called to be holy, to testify about Jesus and proclaim His gospel of salvation. We are called to live with and for Christ and to glorify God. This is the purpose God has given us. So when you think about what's the purpose of my life, well, this is the purpose. Know God and glorify Him, testify about Jesus Christ. So the purpose of salt is to be salty. That's another thing. Its value depends on that quality and strength. So if the salt stops being salty, it has lost its quality and its value therefore. And Jesus warns us. So it is very clear that salt here means believers in Christ. The phrase lost its taste refers to Christians. And this phrase in ancient Greek is expressed with one word. And this word, morante, is used for salt. It means to lose its taste or quality. But used for people, because here the salt is actually people, it's the believers. Used for people, it means to make fool of yourself. That is what literally means, to make fool of yourself, to play the fool, and describes someone acting in stupidity. So if we lose this quality to be salt and light, then we have lost our purpose. We have to come back to Christ, to repent, and become salty again. This quality that God has given us, and the ability to testify about Him, we have to pray that this will be inside us. And sometimes we are tempted to think that if we agree with the principles of the world, to some extent, you know, maybe we will be accepted by the people of this world. And maybe then they will listen to our testimony about Jesus. So we let the worldly values influence us just to make ourselves fit there. And then we think, okay, but once we fit there, then we will kind of influence them. But once you're influenced by the world and lose your saltiness, you cannot influence the world because you're not salty anymore. So we should not lose this quality. Thinking like that is how we can lose our taste, our strength, our quality, and ability to influence the world. And therefore, we can lose our God-given purpose. That's how we can become no longer good for anything, as Jesus says, and lose the respect of unbelievers who will not pay attention to our testimony, as our words and deeds would speak differently. If we are the same like the world, they will not listen to our testimony. And the phrase "no longer good for anything" means useless, not able, or worth nothing. So we have to be very careful to listen to the words of Jesus. And we should not be ashamed to hold firmly the word of God and the testimony about our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Because this testimony, this gospel, this message that we have been given from God has the power to save sinners. As Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, the gospel is the God's power of salvation. And that is what we should proclaim. And that leads us to the second important point concerning our purpose of existence. We are the light that should not hide. Now, we're not just the light. We're a light that should not hide. And have you ever thought about the importance of light? I just tried to check what's going to happen if there is no light. And I read some things. And basically, what the smart people tell us, that, well, without light, everything is going to die. Without light, there is no life. So without light, there will be no life on earth at all. And as God's light in the world, Christians have a very important mission. It is a matter of life and death. It is also an universal mission, as we are the light of the world. And Jesus said, go and make disciples all over the world. So God does not have another light in this world, but the disciples of Jesus. That's you and me, if we are disciples of Jesus. You are the light. I am the light. And God does not have other light. There was no substitute about salt in Jesus' time. I think in modern days they can find substitutes about salt. And there is no substitute of light. Nothing can replace you and me in God's mission. If we don't do it, no one is going to do it. Just there is no other option. No one else is going to bring out or shine the light and the knowledge of Christ if we do not do that. So that's why Jesus gave the great commission to his church. And he said, go and make disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. So he says, go and make disciples. But from one side, he says, like he puts that in a bracket. He says, all authority belongs to me. And he says, I'm with you. And in the middle, go and make disciples. So we rely on his authority, on his power and presence with us to do that. Because sometimes we think, Lord, we're not able. The world is so hostile. We cannot do that. And by ourselves, by our own strength, we are not, really, we are not able. We're just jars of clay. But this is so that, as Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think, he says, so that it can be made clear that the excellent power comes from God and not from us. So this is very important. Light is important because it makes the reality visible. If we don't go out and tell the people how the things are, they would live all kind of fantasies and errors that the devil will put in their minds. But we bring out the gospel, we bring out the truth. And that is to bring the light. I don't know if you've tried to walk in a dark place where you can't see anything. Usually we're like trying to touch things, we're trying what's in front of us, around us. So we're afraid that we can stumble and fall and hurt ourselves. But when the light comes, I can see everything. I can see you because there is light. And I can see the reality around. That is what our purpose is. That is the purpose God gave to you. To shine the light of Jesus so that people can see the reality. You cannot make them see. God can, but that is your purpose, to bring the light. So God has enlightened us so we can see the truth and reality of God, and He made us able to see the spiritual reality as it is. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So this is what God did for us. And we have to go on and do the same. To speak about Jesus, to bring the light out. And God gave us the purpose to be light and to enlighten others with the truth of the gospel of Christ. If God has put us in the world with the purpose to be His light and shine out the truth, He wants us to be visible for everyone. The phrase "city set on a hill" speaks very clearly about it. God does not want to hide His light from mankind. He wants everyone to see it. As a city on a hill, you can see it from afar. You cannot hide that city. It's on a hill. It's visible. So that is the purpose that God has for us. It doesn't mean that we have to go and brag around with ourselves and just to show ourselves. It doesn't mean so. But it means that we have to be present and visible with our testimony about Christ. So in verse 15, Jesus gives us an example from everyday life. We do not light a lamp and put it under a basket or a bed. In the Gospel of Luke, I think he says under the bed. No one is doing that. We have the lights up there so that they can give us light. I mean, so this is the purpose of God for us, to shine His light to everyone in the best and most effective way possible. So the response of the world can be and often is very negative. There will be people who would like to shame us, intimidate us, mock us, persecute us, accuse us of all kind of things. There will be people who would like to silence us. There are all those people. It doesn't mean that when we go out and we shine the light and we speak the truth and everyone will be like, "Wow, yes, we want to believe and follow Jesus." It's not going to be like that. But there will be people who will, because God will work in their lives. And the enemy would like us, would like to make us crawl under a bed and hide there and stay there forever. But Jesus says, you don't put the light under the bed. You don't hide it. He wants us to be out and speaking about Him. So the purpose of light is to shine and to show the truth. So the enemy would like us to hide, but this is not God's purpose and God's will for us. We are called by God to shine His light, to be God's light and not hide. And in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In verse 16, Jesus tells us that we are meant to make God and His glory known to mankind by shining our light. And now, when we speak about our light, we have to ask ourselves, what is our light? Or I should say, who is our light? Because the light, well, Jesus says, you are the light. But basically, the Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So when we speak about shining the light, we have to ask ourselves, what is the light that I have? And that is Jesus. It is Jesus Christ. We do not have light of ourselves. Jesus, who lives in us, is our light and our salvation. So we can do nothing without Him. We have to let Jesus shine in us and through us. So if Jesus is the King who rules over lives and does His works in us and through us, we will be able to do good works that people will see and glorify our Father in heaven. If we don't have Jesus in ourselves, we're not able to do any good. We can do nothing without Him. So, in conclusion, to be God's light, we have to trust and obey Christ, His word. And we have to be aware about the importance of our mission and the unique purpose God has appointed us for. I know that in these days, people say, well, the faith is a very personal thing. Just keep it in yourself. Don't care about others. It's your own faith. You are safe. You're with Christ. They can't believe in other things. It's their own choice. Of course, they can't believe in other things in their own choice. Their own choice. But how are they going to be saved? And the Lord told us we have to proclaim. We have to speak. We have to proclaim the gospel. So we should not hide also, but be brave and proclaim Christ, the light of the world. So in conclusion, the purpose of Christian's life, of every Christian's life, is unique and given by God. He has a wonderful plan for all His children, individually, as individuals. However, His ultimate purpose for everyone who believes in Christ is that we will bring glory to Him in this world by living in a manner worthy of Him. So He wants us to live godly, to be witnesses of Christ, proclaiming the gospel. So God made us ambassadors of Christ and His kingdom. I love to think about that idea. But that's another sermon, so I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to say is just imagine that. Imagine that. You are ambassador. How would you feel if your country sends you somewhere else as an ambassador? You represent your country. You represent your government. I don't know who is sending ambassadors. Is it the king or the government? I think the government. But you represent the authority of your country. And it is a real thing that you represent Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are ambassador of Christ. It's a real thing. You are appointed. And you represent the kingdom of God. That is what the Bible tells us. We are ambassadors of Christ. So we should thank God for this blessing and privilege and pray for strength and grace to accomplish God's purpose for our lives. So that when we stand before Him, we would hear the blessed words, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Amen. May God bless us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that you've said. And you make us really to understand, Lord, how important our mission in this world is. Lord, we represent you and your kingdom. And I pray that in this dark world, we will go on and continue being life for the world, being light and salt, being city on a hill. I pray that we will bring Jesus Christ to the world, Jesus Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life. I pray, Lord, forgive us for those moments when we have been weak and afraid. I pray that you will give us the fullness of your Holy Spirit and your word, so that we would be able and qualified by you to proclaim your kingdom, to proclaim Christ, the King and Savior. And I thank you that you have transferred us from the kingdom of darkness in the kingdom of your beloved Son, so that we may have this inheritance and to rejoice in you, in this world, and to have the hope for the world that comes, for the eternity, for the eternal kingdom. We will long for that kingdom, Lord, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.